cats detect another's health by smelling their ears. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, with the thought for today. Cats detect health smelling another's ears. We all have the opportunity to know what's going on in the world. We all have the opportunity to know who and what we are and what another is by our outer observation. Our outer observation gives us an inner look at what's going on in the world, what's going on in the lives of others, what's going on in the world of others, what's happening in this body of ours and this body of all the others on earth. Now, what is the purpose of our body? Our body is a temple. It is a house. It contains our spiritual and mental being. It gives us a vehicle in which to move around on this existence. Now, all these things are totally unnecessary because we could do all those things without a body. A body is just a car, a convenience, and it's a wonderful thing, and it's something that we have and that is perfect, ideal. It's an ideal format, and we can maintain it in an ideal way if we wish. Now, cats have a tendency to smell other cats' ears and tell what their health is, as well as a cat goes up and smells a dog's ear. In our house, we have many cats and dogs, and they love each other, and they share each other, and they check each other out once in a while when the other's emotions seem to be a little bit out of line. And they find out that by smelling their ears, they have some attitude that shines forth there that shows them that they are not quite in harmony with all in the world, especially with their body. And their body is an outpicturing of what's going on in their mind. All of our bodies are outpicturing what's going on in our world. If we think of ourselves as being beautiful, dynamic, wonderful, happy, glorious people, we shine that out everywhere in our body, everywhere in our being, no matter what we do. Now, some of us may have experiences that are difficult to work with. Some may have a cancer, some may have an illness, some may have a gene, a DNA program that is a little out of whack. And we think to ourselves, oh dear, that's the end. There's no more way to solve this. There's no more way to handle this. There's no more way to take care of ourselves. I'm just going to have to die. Well, you don't have to die. You can live eternally because you do live eternally. You sometimes get out of an old car and you go into a newer car. Get out of an old body and go into a newer body. We know that we are living in lives upon lives upon lives, that we have experiences that we are not aware of that are going on in our world, in our life. We are living on many dimensions. Now, let's just take, for instance, that our body is not quite up to snuff. And we would like to have our body be up to snuff. Now, how do we go about having our body be up to snuff? The first thing we do is we pronounce to our body just what we believe about it. We pronounce to our body just what we want to expect from our body. What do you want to expect from your body? What do I want to expect from my body? Well, I want to expect from my body that it is a healthy body. It is harmonious with itself and its world, that it lives in the environment, in the atmosphere, in the world that it lives in, and it's a harmonious experience all the way around for everybody in the world in which it lives and for itself in the world in which it lives. And the best way to go about doing that is to begin respecting where you live. Begin respecting the life that you're living, the world that you're living in. Now, if we continually say to ourselves, I have the short end of the stick, the things just are not going too well, my life is not too wonderful, things are just not resulting harmoniously in my world, What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to have a bad world. I'm going to look for all the unhappy things in the world, all the unhappy conditions, all the unhappy circumstances, the unhappy food, the unhappy air, the unhappy water, the unhappy environment of people around me. And as I look for those things, I create them. If they weren't there before, I create them. If they were there before, I am aware of them. And whatever it is, I am aware of it. Now, how do I become aware of a perfect body? How do I become aware of a perfect mind, a perfect soul, a perfect being? How do I become aware of what my reality really is? Well, there's only one way to become aware of the reality that I really am. And that's by my affirmative awareness that I am that which I am. I like me. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I have a wonderful world in which I live. The people in this world are thoughtful, loving, and kind, just like I am. I am thoughtful, loving, and kind. I do unto others as I would have them do unto me, but I do it first. I do it first. I am the first one to make an overture of saying, I love you. I'm the first one that goes out and says, hey, give me a hug. And I go around hugging everybody in the world. In fact, as I go hugging everybody in the world, I go to all these nations in the world, all these countries, and I give lectures and I give seminars and I give talks on positive living and positive thinking and positive attitudes. And after the talk, people come up and they want a hug. Everybody wants a hug. People sometimes go in one door and out another and come back in another, yet so they can have a second, third, and fourth hug and not look like they're after a second, third, and fourth hug. And it's wonderful. But what is the energy that's going out and doing these things? What is the energy that's going out and bringing forth the magnificence of these people that they had not been feeling before, but after the lecture and after the attitude, after the change of thought, they realize, hey, I'm a nice person. I'm a good person. I don't deserve a good hug. I love a good hug. Now, you see, that's a good point for us to think about. We don't deserve anything. We love it. What is it that you love? Do you love your family? Then your family, you can be sure, is quite nice. Do you love your work? Then you can be sure that your work is wonderful. Do you love people in your world? Then you can be sure that the people in your world are very loving indeed. First, I love myself. First, I love myself, and then I love my world, and then I love everything in it. And as I do this, it returns 100-fold. And people just say, hey, you know, you're a nice person. I enjoy being in your company. You're a wonderful being. I love it. I love it. I love it. And then what happens? What happens? Doorways open for you, for me, to have more love. Doorways open for me to enjoy it more. And then I'm like a cat, you know, and I'm smelling everybody's ears. And I'm saying, wow, you are a ideal health. You're in perfect health. You're in fantastic health. I want you as a friend. I want, you see, but I'm creating that. I'm creating that by my thought. I'm creating that by my attitude, by my actions, by my own attitude of what is important for me and what is important in this world, because that's all that matters. Now, if a cat, an animal, not quite as advanced in mental thinking as mankind is, or maybe they are and we don't even know it, but we think they're not. If they can know all of these beautiful techniques for working in a harmonious world, if they can lick their own fur balls, their own fur, if they can lick themselves and be clean and beautiful, have you ever seen really a dirty cat? Yes, I've seen a dirty cat. I saw a dirty cat, the cat that was not loved, a cat that was abandoned, the cat that had no home, that had no one that cared about it. And then that cat came into our world. And one of our monks here in the monastery took that cat into her arms and into her life. And she so loved that cat that was so mangy and so poor and so sad. And she loved him. She didn't take it to the doctor. She didn't take it here and there. She didn't give it all of the current medical treatments that could be given to the cat. But she just loved it. And that was Ingeborg. And she took that cat and she said, "You're wonderful. You're fantastic. I love you." And she says, "Sometimes I feel like an underdog too, and I know how you feel, but I love you, and you're wonderful." And she just sparkled her love on that cat, and she just sparkled her joy on that cat. And every day she would go down to the Shangri-La and visit that cat and feed that cat and keep the cat separate from everything else, but yet loved. And as she did that, the cat turned out to be a beautiful Angora cat with a lovely coat of fur that was just glorious to look at and to see, and that became mellow and loving and lived a happy, joyous life. We all have that. We all have that. We live a happy, joyous life when we are loving, when we are loved, when we are the ones who love, when we are the ones who are loved. This is what the world is made up about. This is what all of life is made up about. Life is made up about who we are, what our values are, what our direction is. Are we loving people? Do we love first ourselves? Do we love who we are and how we are and where we are? Do we love this vehicle that we're in, this body? Do we say that this body is a glorious, wonderful body? Do we say this body is a healthy, fantastic body? Do we say that? We can. Do we say that the world we live in is a glorious, wonderful world? Do we say all of the people we meet are beautiful, glorious, wonderful people? Do we say that we like ourselves? Do we say that we like all that we have created? We like every thought that comes into our mind is a beautiful thought. And if it comes into our mind a little bit shady, we polish it up. Like the diamond we are, we polish it up and we make it into the beautiful thing that it is intrinsically, internally. And as we do this, our life becomes more and more glorious, more and more wonderful, more and more revealing of all that we are. But like the cat, we go around smelling the other cat's ears. And we say, "Hey, I love you. You're whole and perfect. You're wonderful." We'll even lick the other cat's ears and clean them out and make them perfect. And you say, "Yuck, how could you lick a cat's ear?" Well, cats don't say yuck. Cats just say yes. And if anything is distasteful, they spit it out. If anything is inharmonious, they spit it out. And they pour their love through their tongue into their fur, into their body, into the ears of their friends and other cats who might be needed a little more love. Cats really know how to love. They just sort of snuggle in with people, with other cats, and they make themselves so at home, they say, "Yeah, I'm perfectly happy here. I'm not going to put myself in harm's way, but I'm going to put myself in love's way every moment of my day." You and I, we can do the same thing if we wish. But if we wish, we have to do it with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our being, and we have to know that nothing is bad. Everything is good, and we call it forth in every moment of our life. Know this for yourself today, and enjoy this for yourself today, because this is your gift to yourself, just as the cats give the gift to themselves. My beloveds, know that I love you. I love you. I love you. Yes, I like you. I like you. I like you. I like you.